League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Stevie Wiebe here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Tara Lopez episode. She's in a group called Rituals of Mine. She was highly recommended by my homeboy, Mestizo. My favorite part of her interview was when she talked about meeting Bjork for the first time, as well as she has a crazy story about also meeting Michael Stipe from REM. She has crazy stories, and it was one of my favorite interviews, and she's super, super talented, and I hope you all enjoy. Peace.
Preview.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show. This episode is sponsored by Sandberg.
Special guest tonight. Please welcome musician Tara Lopez from the group Rituals of Mine. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Was that weird?
That was great.
Okay, thank you.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, I saw you smiling.
It was very beautiful.
Yeah, it made me feel more assured that I was going the right direction.
I was zoning out.
Okay. I'm so happy you're here. We've been wanting to book you for several months now.
Well, thank you.
You've been busy.
Yeah, crazy busy.
Did you just get back from tour?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Firstly, how did you come up with the awesome name Rituals of Mine for your band?
It was actually a lyric of mine in a song, and I had been going by the name Sister Crayon for years.
I love that too.
It was kind of like a rap alter ego, but it was a total joke.
Yeah.
And then the project actually got traction. And so I was like, oh damn, I'm actually stuck with this name.
Okay.
So then, you know, I was like, I got to change this as soon as we signed to a label. And so, yeah, just from a lyric.
Yeah, that's amazing. And shout out to Mestizo, by the way,
because yes.
My homeboy Mestizo,
love him,
recommended you way back. I'm like, who should I get? I'm trying to get more female musicians. He's like, you got to get this person.
Oh my god!
So how did you guys link up? Like,
You know what? The funny thing, I was on tour in Philly actually playing with Tricky, and I met Mestizo that night. And we just vibed.
Yeah, that's like my brother.
Oh my gosh, it was like an immediate connection, and that doesn't happen to me often. So as soon as that happened, I knew like, all right, you're the homie.
Yeah, have you heard any of his music?
Yes, incredible.
Very talented.
Amazing
rapper.
Amazing.
Check out Mestizo as well. I mention him a lot, but yeah, he's the reason why. Like, he brought you to my attention, and then I think one of the first videos I watched, you were performing. It was like one drummer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, there it is. It's right there. Where are you from and how did you get into music?
I'm from Sacramento, California. I've been doing music for like 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Taught myself how to sing when I was a freshman at Long Beach State, actually. Mm-hmm. Because I had nothing else to do. So I just, I couldn't afford to do anything else. So I would literally lay on my floor, stare at the ceiling, and mimic my favorite singers until I could hit every single note like they could.
Like, who are some of your favorite singers that you did that with?
You know, like Fiona Apple, Jeff Buckley. I love hip hop, so yeah.
Roots. You do?
Yeah, I love hip hop.
So what are some of your some hip hop groups that?
Tribe is my favorite. And right, yeah, Tribe is my all-time favorite. But I love the Roots. I love Common. I love Mos Def. There's so many.
I had no idea, but it's coming together. I'm like, I could see that you do. I wasn't sure, but now the way you perform, I'm like, it's there.
Grew up on that.
Yeah. I have a kind of a Tribe story. I was in Koreatown at some event. I forgot. My girlfriend brought me there. And Ali Shaheed Muhammad came up in the elevator.
No way.
Yeah, and time just...
Did you flip out?
I looked at him like a ghost. And it must have been very weird and awkward, but I just looked at him, and then I lost my window.
Totally, yeah.
Because like a normal response would be like, oh my God, can I get a picture? But it's always played out in my mind.
Right.
So he had already walked away. And then I turned to my girlfriend. I go, do you know who that was? And she goes, no, but who? I go, that was Ali Shaheed Muhammad from Tribe. And I was like shaking. I was like, what do I do? She goes, well, say hi. So I walked up to him and I got a pic. He was nice.
Oh my gosh, awesome. That's
he was
great.
Like so friendly, but yeah, that was my only Tribe story.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and I tried writing Q-Tip a few times on Instagram.
I have faith that it will happen.
Thank you.
It'll happen.
What is it about that? Because you named a lot of 90s groups.
Yeah.
What is it about that? Because I'm in a time capsule back then.
Same. Like, totally.
I make stuff and I try to mimic that.
Yeah, same.
But what is it about that? What attracted you to that during that time period?
It was just raw. It was, you know, everything from the beats to the lyrics to the delivery I felt was just completely authentic and raw.
Yeah.
And so that's still my favorite stuff. I mean, there's definitely rappers that I love now, but... Yeah, that will be my go-to. If I'm ever in a bad mood, I put that on. Oh, yeah. Immediately flips.
Yeah. Were you ever into the Beastie Boys?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, like, Cypress Hill.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Cypress Hill. I'm from South Sacramento, which is, if you
Sacramento.
Don't know,
shout out to Sac Town, because we got some family up there. I got my cousins up there.
Yes.
Our friend Nathaniel from Losco Projects is up. Yeah, there's some family up there. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm from South Sacramento, mm-hmm. which is... I mean, that's all that we used to listen to. Cypress Hill, got Cypress Hill like every single morning. That reminds me of my uncles for sure.
That first album, it's so timeless that it doesn't matter what year it is or when, where. I could put just one of their songs off the first album. It takes me right back there.
Yep, absolutely.
I almost got kicked off. I used to wrestle, and I ditched my wrestling practice with my other friend Rich Salo to go to it was Cypress Hill, Beastie Boys, and Rollins Band.
What?
One of the best concerts, by the way, that I ever attended.
Okay.
And it was worth it.
I mean, yeah.
It was. Because I remember I was I was supposed to be clean and athlete, but I remember they passed the. Like, I'm sober now, but I just remember I had to do it.
I mean, yeah.
I had to.
You had to.
Yeah, but there was something about, for me, it was. Do you remember MTV?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I remember Cutting Edge, 120 Minutes.
Oh my God, I missed that.
And
so
then
much.
Yo MTV Raps.
Yep, absolutely.
And so I used to, at 4:30 p.m., I'd run to the TV and I knew it was going to be on. And it was a thing.
I mean, the same. I would literally try to skip school just so I could, or at least leave school early so that I could come home and watch MTV.
Yeah.
I grew up on that.
Do you know how it's changed now?
Yeah, it's changed a little bit.
It's not so much based on the music, but more...
I don't even know what it is now.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But the last time I checked, it was reality shows.
Yeah, I think that's all that it is. I think they play music videos from 3 to 4 a.m.
That bothers
me. Maybe. I know, because music videos, seriously, was how you... I don't know, it showed like cutting edge, and it gave you culture, and it showed you just different aspects of life.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
So, yeah, I completely agree. I feel like we're in a parallel, like an alternate universe right now, because like I see what's like popping, and I'm like, what? It's like backwards.
I know.
It's like, it confuses me.
Same.
Because it's like, it's almost like the real good authentic stuff is like unheard of, or you have to really dig to find it.
Yeah.
But the stuff that's just the most simple and but catchy is like played throughout the everywhere.
Yeah.
Am I tripping?
No, not at all.
Do you feel the same way?
Yes. I think about it all the time.
I do too.
All the time.
So you laying in bed.
Yeah.
I trip. I'm like, what world are we in?
I don't know.
When did that shift happen?
I love technology, but I also think technology has a lot of cons. And I think, I don't know. I don't know if I can blame technology, but there's definitely been a major shift. And I think that's why I go back and I listen to music from that time period, because mm-hmm. it kind of takes me back. It makes me forget some of the bullshit.
Right. That's a beautiful thing about music.
Yeah.
It's timeless.
Exactly.
I'm interested. Who are some of the other bands and groups that influenced you and that you were into? I'm just curious.
Bjork is by far like one of my all-time favorite
Sugar
artists.
Cubes.
Oh, Sugar Cubes. I mean, anything that she does, I've been obsessed with. I'm really into trip hop. So like Portishead, Tricky. I grew up on Massive Attack. I grew up on
I remember the Mass. I was just at Amoeba, but the Massive Attack. Is it
Mezzanine?
Yeah, it's that album. And I remember that one.
Oh, fantastic.
Because that's the one I used to play.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, this is cool. And then Secret Frequency Crew.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a couple other ones where I'm like, you know what? I'm not necessarily into it, but I like it because there's like a melodic element of how they're doing the beats, and there's a fusion of different stuff going on. And I'm like, I like that.
I mean, Portishead was absolutely that. They like blended jazz, hip hop, and electronic. And to me, when I first heard that as a teenager, it blew my mind.
Portishead, dummy.
Oh my God.
Classic. I am a little biased because I had a very bad LSD trip listening to Dummy. So ever since that, it really affected me. But that's when you know music is powerful.
Absolutely.
When a album or one particular song could alter your trip.
Yeah.
Because I saw like dead people in my like dorm room bathroom.
Oh shit.
Like, I don't know what's in the lyrics. It was track 3, Strangers.
Okay.
Boom, boom. Yeah. It was that deep bass line.
I don't
boom,
know.
Boom, boom, boom.
I don't know if I would listen to Portishead on LSD. Every time that I've taken it, I've only listened to Bjork, and I've had these magical experiences where I could see my like organs, and they were glowing, and butterflies, all that.
You know what? That's where I made the mistake. Don't. So kids, if you decide to do anything, maybe listen to something a little bit more happier.
Yeah, a little lighter.
But you know, it's great music.
It's amazing.
What's her name? Beth Gibbons?
Beth Gibbons.
Amazing.
Yeah. She's incredible. And I admire that she's been able to be so iconic, yet so private. And she hides behind the scenes. You never know what she's up to, but yet she has crafted what trip hop is.
And her voice is so distinct, and you could spot it a mile away. With that being said, we have to take a quick break for our sponsor, Scentbird. Now, a word from our sponsor, Scentbird. Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service for perfumes and colognes. Scentbird has more than 600 designer brands for you to choose from each month. Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort and find your new fragrance by brand, style, occasion, season, and more. With Scentbird, you can have a great taste and mix up your fragrance routine without breaking the bank. Whether it's Versace, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Scentbird.com keeps you smelling good month after month after month. My personal favorites, I like, in no particular order, I like the Burberry. The Brit Rhythm smells fantastic. I like Clinique. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Clinique Happy, I love. Dolce & Gabbana Intenso. Check that one out. You won't be disappointed. And Hugo Boss, Just Different. So check those out. Those are my favorite, but there are many, 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 many more. Go to scentbird.com/Stebe. Use my code Stebe, STEEBEE, for 30% off your first month. Again, go to scentbird.com/Stebe. Use my code STEEBEE for 30% off your first month. And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 30% off your first month today. That's only $10 for your first fragrance. Again, and with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, that's you, hopefully, you can get 30% off your first month today. That's only $10 off your first fragrance. Again, I'm going to spell it out for you. That's scentbird.com/STEEBEE for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $10. Let me just do that one last time and I'll let y'all go. Again, that's scentbird.com/STEEBEE for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $10. Sign up today. You won't be disappointed. Smell fresh like me. And we're back. Back to Beth Gibbons. I like what you're talking about there. So Portishead, Beth Gibbons. Yeah. That's a special kind of singer, songwriter, a vocalist. Yeah. Are you into like Karen O?
Yeah, absolutely. Karen O. I actually just went to, she did a project with Danger Mouse. That just came out, and I went to the listening party, and it was epic.
How was that?
It was insane. It was this crazy like art installation, and it was in complete darkness, and it was just like 45 minutes of just, it was dope. It was so dope.
So you're saying they did a project with you say Danger Mouse?
Yeah,
because he did Danger Doom, right? Back in the day.
Yes.
A thing with MF Doom.
Yeah.
But he, I love so he, MF. Yeah, me too. I'm obsessed. We'll get into that. Okay. Just, yeah. I'm obsessed with him actually. Very, like almost like not healthy. Not like in a non-healthy not way. Healthy. So you're saying that, so there's, she sang over like his DJing and beats and stuff?
Yes. And the name is slipping me, but it just came out earlier this year. So
that sounds amazing.
It's really dope.
Yeah. There was a secret project. I don't know if I'm supposed to discuss it, but I don't think it's out. But, my homeboy Money Mark, let me hear, there's a secret project with Karen O and, Karen O and who's the bassist for the Pixies? Kim Deal.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Kim Deal's iconic. That's amazing. But I hope that, it does come out.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna, but no. I'm telling you, if you were to hear, I only heard two or three songs.
Yeah.
But I was like, play it again. He played in the kitchen. We rented a house in Big Bear to record an album.
Awesome.
I go, play it again. And because it was that good.
Damn.
I don't think it's ever gonna come out, but I wish I could play. I mean, because it's secret. I don't think that it was like there's a non-disclosure. I don't know. NDAs or, okay. You know, I don't think it'll come out. I'm hoping it will.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds incredible.
So you're a fan of Kim Deal and the Pixies as well?
Yes. Actually, the Pixies are, I got into them in high school. So high school was when I first started singing, and it was my first band. And my guitarist got me into the dopest music. He gave me a Pixies record, PJ Harvey record, Mars Volta record. Those three albums really like shaped, I mean, it blew my mind. I was, you know, 17 years old and I hadn't heard music like this and I hadn't heard expression in this way.
Yeah, Mars Volta kind of took me off guard. I worked at Amoeba early 2000 and I just remember I don't know, it was their first album or EP, it was flying off the racks.
Right? I was working at a record store too around that time.
People were buying that record and my homie Gino, you know, subtitled Gino. Was it Gold Standard Laboratory? Him and Thavius ended up getting on the same label, but I'm like, that's when I started paying attention to like smaller labels. I'm like, wow, they're putting out like a variety of different types of art. You know, I didn't know, you know, like how that stuff worked, but, that's so crazy. Yeah.
What was the name of your first band?
Yeah, what was the name of your first band?
Oh, God. It was a terrible name. Midnight 30. It was terrible.
That's not so bad.
I was 17.
Yeah.
But then I was in a trip hop jazz duo called mm-hmm. Kyoto Beat Orchestra. And that was like That's when dope. I really started. It was very heavily influenced by trip hop.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was dope. It was fun.
What was it about? So you said trip hop. Did you go to raves as well?
Like, yeah, I did. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I went to a few.
Because me and Mestizo did too, like in Arizona.
Weren't those the best?
Yeah, we would go to some random place in like Phoenix and we'd end up at some random warehouse.
Oh my
and
God,
then
so
there'd
fun.
Be different rooms.
Different rooms, different music. Yeah. Like the vibe was so, so, so dope. And it was so dark always.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah, I used to go.
I used to dance a lot more back then.
Me too.
I was more freeing. Like yes. Now I'm more, like I'm older, I'm more reserved. But back then I would just love to go to the jungle, the drum and bass
room.
And I would just, I don't know, I'd probably look like a crazy person.
I mean.
But I was letting loose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have a lot of good homies from Arizona that got me into that scene. Like okay. as far as like the more of the electronic bass music.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
Hey, it's all relative, you know? It all feeds each other.
I feel like it's all influenced
Yeah,
by
it. It's if it's good, it's good, you know? Yeah. And so when did you go from those bands to like where you're at now? Like when did you start like making those steps? Because you're not, you're on a label now. And you're touring. So how did, let's keep following that trajectory.
So I was in Kyoto Beat Orchestra and then I kind of wanted to do a solo thing. So that's when I started Sister Crayon, which honestly was a fake rap alter ego, and I would just make bought an MPC 1000 with my first credit card ever and started
I gotta give you a pound for that.
Started making beats, totally went in debt for that thing.
But you bought an MPC?
Oh yeah, I went to Guitar Center and like it was there and it was the only one left and I bought an MPC 1000. It was used.
It was used, obviously. Yeah. It was the older.
Yeah, and so I would just make beats using, you know, the stock sounds that they had and whatever I could find.
Yeah, but it's a sampler.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And so you were...
And it used the
disc?
Yeah.
Yeah, the hard discs. Yeah. That's so crazy. So you said you maxed out your credit card?
Oh, yeah.
Because we just had the Grouch on here.
Okay, yeah, I love him.
Yeah, and he did the same thing. He maxed out his credit card to buy an ASR-10 sampler keyboard. The Insonic.
Oh my God, awesome.
So it's a similar, it's so
trajectory,
crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, that's all that I would do is I would hole up in my bedroom, make beats, just rap over it, and then send it to my friends as jokes. And then one track called Lavender Liars, which is a track that I did with a friend. Actually, it was during the days of MySpace. I feel so old. But put it up on...
I remember MySpace.
Right? I fucking miss MySpace,
Tom,
to be
shout
real.
Out to Tom.
Shout out... Tom.
Yeah. Top... Well, remember you could put your top...
Oh, yeah, your top eight.
Like your close homies, top eight.
Oh, I miss it. And you had like a profile song. Yeah, it was dope.
But remember they allowed you to put your music on there.
Yeah, which is what I did.
Yeah, me too.
I really...
Yeah,
oh my God,
I
loved
was like,
it.
And I would like lay in bed thinking, okay, which... What are my hottest songs? Like, you know, okay. Then. And then you would look every day to see, oh, like 50 more or 15 more people listened.
And it was exciting. Yeah. And it was, I put that song up and it kind of went, I don't know, viral for back in the day, whatever that meant. And so I was like, oh shit, like people are responding to this.
Yeah.
So then it just kind of developed and we signed to our first label in 2012 and released, an album out there, and then that kind of just got us on a national spotlight and an international spotlight.
Dude, that's so dope.
It was dope.
What were you going through when all this was like, were you like, whoa, this is crazy?
It was crazy because I would literally just play in people's kitchens and in basements and in bedrooms, and it was always just a thing that I did. And if people listened, cool. If they didn't, I was still going to do it anyway.
Did you press up your own like CDs and tapes?
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff?
Absolutely.
And then you do your covers?
Absolutely. I still have them. That was so fun. Like, yeah. I would have like little like CD making parties where my friends would come over and they would help me make them and make the covers.
Do you remember how time consuming that was?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when I was in my hip hop crew, Noble Hops, early 2000, I bought like a inkjet printer and it would go.
Totally.
And then I would take that and then I'd put it in one of those towers.
Yeah.
And I would just sit there like smoking cigarettes. Just hours, 8 hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I would go to Staples, office supplies, and I would buy the jewel case inserts.
Totally, yeah.
And then in Amoeba, I'd buy wholesale jewel cases from the record store itself. I didn't know what to do. I mean,
that was what you did.
Yeah, because I didn't know how, like, I was a bit, like, taken back because, like, other musicians don't, like, share those secrets. Like, let's say if they're already on a label and you're, like, you're working there too and you're like, you don't know. And then you just see their stuff out and they're on, like, you see their record label and it's shrink wrapped and with the barcode. And I'm thinking, scratching my head, like, how do you do that?
I know. It was,
like,
you know,
no one's telling you there's publicists and...
There's so much that goes behind all of it.
So let's go back. So you got signed.
So I got signed to a label called Manimal, which was out in L.A. And they put out the first War Paint record and the first Bat for Lashes record. And so it was a very hip label of the time. Mm-hmm. And so we got a lot of press from that. We were, you know, on TV and the BBC was playing us, which was amazing.
Dude,
and
that's amazing.
It was huge
that's
for
legit.
Us.
If the BBC's picking up any of your stuff.
Yeah, they were huge supporters and they were the first to review our record. And it was an incredible review.
Yeah. What year was this? Do you remember?
2012.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a while ago. But so that was insane. And so we just kind of toured from there. We did our first national tour.
What was that like? Who's it we? You keep saying we. Who's
me and the? It was a band.
Okay,
so
who are these other people?
It was a four piece at the time.
Okay,
so it grew from me and a little NPC to, you know, a four piece like full on band.
How did you meet these people?
Oh gosh, I met Danny was a longtime collaborator. I met her through mutual friends, and she was a conga player. And I was like, if you can play congas, you can play NPC. And so she picked it up.
Oh, because of
totally.
It's like
she was fantastic.
It's timing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
She was crazy on it. And so, and then from there, we just kind of met folks who were like, oh, I could play bass. I'm like, all right, you're in the band. You could play drums. You're in the band.
Did you have auditions?
No, it was always just if this I vibed with you. Yeah. If I vibed with you, your family, we're going to play music together.
Wow. Yeah. So they must have been stoked once. We're on a label. We're going on a tour.
Yeah, it was cool.
What was your first tour like?
It was amazing. We toured with the album Leaf, which was really cool. And we did this full national tour. And I had never been outside of California at that time. So we were able, like, we went to every single state. And, like, going to New York for the first time and playing.
What
like
was
in
that
front of,
like? I mean, were you a little over? I mean, because New York's pretty...
It was intense.
Yeah.
It was intense. Yeah. It was amazing. It was great.
Yeah. Was it in Brooklyn or Manhattan?
It was Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what was the reception like? They were into it?
They were so into it. It was crazy. We got a lot of press from that tour.
Cool.
So I had to get used to like interviews and photos and like all of it just happened very quickly.
And what are some other memorable spots you remember?
Oh, God.
Anywhere in the Midwest?
Yes, yeah. Actually, so that year we played South By, and I remember I was singing and I had my eyes closed, and I looked up, and Michael Stipe from REM was like right in the front row just watching us. And
oh,
I was.
God. I got nervous with you just saying that. Oh, my God.
I didn't even know what to do. So,
dude, that guy's a legend.
I know, it was wild.
Michael Stipe from REM. I used to have their tapes,
Eponymous. Yeah.
So he was looking at you?
Yeah, he watched the whole set. It was cool. It was crazy, though. Because, I mean, for so many reasons.
It must have been like a dream.
It was.
You know what I mean?
No, it totally was.
That's like
freaked out.
You're singing and you open in Bono's air. I know. You're like, oh my God, it's Bono.
I know. It was very
or
surreal.
Tom York or someone.
Right.
You're like,
yeah. Just insane.
So I want to know this. Okay, so you're singing with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
You open your eyes and it's the lead singer of REM.
Yeah.
How do you, what was going on?
Did
you forget your lyrics?
I didn't react. No, I didn't miss a note. I didn't react. And it wasn't until afterwards that I allowed myself to freak out. But I just played the set. And he stayed the whole time, which was cool. And I was like, all right, dope. That's rad. We're doing something right.
That, I mean, if you were to die that night, I'm just saying, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes.
I mean, yeah.
If I were to die that night, I'd be like, okay, well, Michael Stipes saw me perform.
Yeah.
And he was in the front row.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Who do you, okay. This, I like doing this. Who would you be the most nervous seeing you in the front row?
Bjork.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I was going to say Bjork.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know.
I think you'd forget a lyric or two.
Absolutely.
If you saw Bjork.
I think so. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, for sure I would.
I have a feeling that might happen.
I hope one day. I met her.
You met her?
Yeah, in Reykjavik.
Let's hear about that.
In Reykjavik, in Iceland, I took my partner and I, we went to Reykjavik, Iceland in 2016 for Christmas. And I'm a huge Bjork fan. I have 2 Bjork tattoos. I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. And we went there and I didn't even know this. So we made some friends.
Yeah.
Because my rule when I travel is to always say yes. I don't allow myself to say no. So because of that,
I need to learn what you just said there. I think you should say that in the camera again, because we all could learn a lesson by having that attitude.
Always say yes. All right. Okay. So I said yes to, I went to a bar and I made some friends. Mm-hmm. The next night, one of the friends asked me at midnight, come out to this dive bar. There's a punk show happening. I was already in my pajamas, but I was like, I got to go. I can't say no.
Yeah.
So I get dressed. We go to the bar and I have this feeling I have to go to the front. I don't know why. It was packed. So make our way to the
something
front.
Inside you said that.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
So I make my way to the front. I'm looking at the band. They're dope. I'm vibing out. And my partner comes up to me and says, don't panic. I immediately, because I'm American, think, oh shit, there's like a shooting or yeah. something bad is going to happen. And she says, I think that's Bjork. And I turn to the right. I look and I am so calm and I say, yeah, you're right. And I think like all the blood just drained out of me. I kept it so cool though.
Yeah.
But so, you know, the whole time, like Bjork is right here. We're watching the show.
How close in proximity was she to you?
Really close.
How close? Like 2 or 3 people away?
Not even that. Like maybe 5 feet away.
That close?
She was very close.
Did you smell her?
I don't know. Maybe
I should have. I know what she smelled like.
I should have.
It must have been like butterscotch.
Probably.
Yeah.
She kept looking in, like back in my direction.
Yeah.
And I looked behind me until, and she kept smiling. And I was like, who is she smiling at? I was wearing a hat. I was the only one wearing a hat.
She's smiling at you.
She was smiling at me. She pointed at my hat and she gave me a thumbs up and I like flipped out.
God, that blows my freaking mind.
Flipped out.
Bjork
yeah.
smiled at you.
Yeah, so afterwards I was like, I'm going to go say hi to her. So after the band was done, I went up to her and I just said, hey, my name is Tara, you know. And she cut me off and she was like, it's so nice to finally meet you.
Wait a minute. Yeah, she knew about you?
Yeah, I guess we have mutual friends. We have in Death Grips, Steph and Zach, I guess maybe. I don't know. I had no idea.
That just blows my mind.
Me too. I still don't know how she knows about me. But yeah, I cried. I like had a full breakdown after she left.
I mean, just those 2 stories alone, I mean, your life is kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of stories.
So what, like, led you on this journey? I mean, because you're on some kind of journey, it seems like.
Yeah, I feel it for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep going with my intuition and crazy shit like that happens. I'm
that's
super
so,
grateful.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going on your trajectory, like.
Okay.
So what led to like recording more albums to where you're at now and
yeah, so
festivals and all that?
Yeah, so our second record, actually, I was working with my longtime producer, Wes Jones, and we had the record about like 70% done. And we went on tour with Les Butcherettes and Anti-Mosque, which is mm-hmm. Omar Rodriguez Lopez is from the Mars Volta's mm-hmm. other project.
Yeah,
he was really into what we were doing and asked if he could produce on the record. So we wrote like 3-4 songs together and those made the album. So he co-produced it and that was wild. And that really helped us get to, you know, a bigger fan base.
Yeah. That's dope.
We signed to a major label for a minute.
I know. We just know one of your videos had the W, is it Warner?
Yeah, Warner. Yeah. So that was wild.
So how did that, how does that, do you have to go to a meeting? Do you have to go to the main
office? It was funny. The album had already been out for over a year. Our fans, like all of our fans knew about it. And it was this awesome rep, Samantha Maloney, who used to be the drummer for Hole. She heard,
I like Hole. I do too. That was a good album.
Yes, totally. So she heard our record and hit me up and was just like, I want to meet you. So I was super nervous. I got really drunk. Not right before? No, during.
Oh, during.
Yeah. I got so nervous. So I just, and I don't really drink.
Yeah.
So, but
they had drinks there at the office?
At her office. Yeah. She had a full
bar.
Full bar.
What were you drinking? Some tequila. Tequila.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me how the meeting went.
So we just vibed and literally talked for like 4 hours about trip hop and about kind of like how, what we're doing here.
We just totally vibed and
like I knew immediately, like, you know, normally I would never fuck with a major, but I was just like, you know what? I like you. If I get to work with you, I'll sign with you. And so we just had a couple more dinners and a couple more like meetings like that. And we ended up signing and it was a rad experience. That's crazy. It's still
what did your bandmates think about, like, how did you break the news to your other bandmates?
Oh, I remember calling, my bandmate and telling her, and we both just like burst into tears because it had been so many years of like roughing it.
Yeah. And so what happens when you sign to a major label? Like, what does that entail? Like,
yeah, so
a certain amount of albums and tour date, like how does that work?
Yeah, totally. I mean, we immediately went on tour with the Deftones and then we went on tour with Tricky right after, and so we were just on the road. We re-released the record, which was a different experience,
through Warner.
Yeah, shot a couple more music videos. I mean, we were just constantly working. And so it was a rad experience. You know, I don't have anything like negative to say. It was definitely, I always knew it was not going to be my forever home, but I'm like the type of person where I want to at least try.
Yeah.
Try something and then see. And now we're on a label that I've never felt more at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
You said you did tour with Tricky and you said that was somebody you looked up to.
Yeah.
Yeah, how did that happen with Tricky?
Touring with Tricky was insane. He is one of my biggest inspirations, and just like an alien to me. Like, he didn't really ever seem real. So to tour with him every single night was insane. And the fact that he doesn't really like a lot of people. Like, he'll let you know if he doesn't like you. And well, he doesn't like a lot of people.
On the tour or something?
Just in general, yeah. But he really liked me for some reason and really connected with me. And so would like pull me aside and just give me like life advice or music industry advice. And we vibed so much that he put me on his next record. So it was,
dude, your life is crazy, dude. You're blowing my mind right now. Keep going.
So, I mean, it was just crazy. And he was, you know, he pulled me aside one night in front of fans at the merch booth and was just like, Massive Attack is here. You are here. Just keep going. And he was just like, just trust me. Just keep going. And for someone of that caliber to see that. Yeah, to see that in me and to say that, I was like, all right.
I have a feeling that you are going to do something with them.
I mean,
I'm putting that out in the universe.
All right, let's put it out. Let's manifest
that.
Yeah,
Massive Attack, holler.
Yeah.
Holler.
I'm here.
At Tara Lopez. Man, so what? Dude, your stories are blowing my mind. So what are some musicians that you would like to work with in the future? You mentioned MF Doom. Hold on, I didn't want to skip that.
Yeah.
I didn't want that. I don't
MF
want
to.
I
mean, he's one.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, who wouldn't?
I through the grapevine, I heard he doesn't live in the States. He lives in the UK somewhere. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
What is it about him that that you like?
I just feel like he's always just done his own thing and like been able to create music the way that he wanted to create, to market himself the way that he wanted to market himself. He's just a total badass.
And he reinvented himself.
Absolutely.
After KMD.
Yeah.
And he went through a lot losing his brother and all. So
I mean, I didn't know about that story.
The other member of KMD was his brother, who passed. Yeah.
Damn.
I don't know exactly how he died. I forgot how he died, but yeah, I'm sure that that in itself is a difficult, you know, hurdle to get over. But geez, I mean, because I think a lot of musicians have a hard time, like, that's a hard thing to do, to reinvent.
That,
just another day.
That's you know, for real, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to reinvent yourself and to become a legend like that, like, crazy. I don't know. I grew up, you know, that music just reminds me, his music reminds me of,
well, the MPC too. Like, I'm sure exactly. He made some of the stuff on the MPC.
Totally. Yeah. It just reminds me of good times. Too. Exactly. Yeah. And like, it's so lo-fi and it's so, I don't know. It's just raw.
You know what? I have some of similar sensibilities as you. Like, I still kind of like that. What sounds bad to the mainstream sounds very good to
me too.
like the hissing and the crackling.
Oh, I love it. It's the best.
I like the discrepancies and just the shortcomings of
totally.
It.
Yeah.
You know, where
I feel like that's where the magic is, really.
Yeah. So rest in peace, Daniel Johnston. He just passed. And I think that's why maybe Daniel kind of resonated with me, because, like, going back with MF Doom, they just kind of did their own thing.
Totally.
Like, he was in a garage.
Right.
And he had two tape decks and a crappy organ. But he made
timeless
album?
Music. Yeah. Like, timeless music.
So I like that.
Yeah.
I wish more musicians were like that.
Yeah, I do too. And I wish the industry celebrated more musicians like that.
Why is it that they don't?
You know, because I feel like that's not where the money is, unfortunately. And it's fucked up.
Can there be a balance where you could still have be rough around the edges, but still have mass appeal?
I think so. And I think, like, I have hope that that's going to happen. And I have hope that that's the trajectory and that's going to be the norm.
Because I'm hoping there's more musicians like you that get signed to labels, small labels, major labels. I think that needs to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts towards the future of music? Like, where do you see it going? Like, as far as the way it's how people are listening to it? Like, where do you see that?
You know, it's wild. It changes so much and it has changed so much. I really hope, you know, like how everything is kind of cycling back, like clothing and trends is going back to the 90s. I kind of hope that we see that happen.
Music.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Everything else is.
I saw some kids somewhere in like the outfits that we're wearing reminded me like cross colors.
Oh,
or
like absolutely. Baggy.
You know, it might be 92 or something.
All of it is coming back. All of it is like. Anything you wore in high school, you would be like, you know, the biggest trend right now. So I'm hoping that music kind of goes back that way.
Do you remember the polka dot phase?
Yes, I do, actually.
And cross colors?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want that to come back, but I like at the mall, I remember I bought this trench coat and it was like every color. It was red, purple, yellow, green, and it had a hood.
That would totally be in right now.
But I remember, like, I bought it and I walked around and I thought I looked cool, but I realized, like, oh, I look like a fool.
I feel that, yeah. Many, many photos out there.
Do you remember LA Gear?
I do, of course.
But do you remember they had, like, those, they were, like, kind of like mountain boots, but they had, like, different colors?
Totally. Those are in, too.
But I used to, like, seek those out.
Oh, okay.
I had purple. I had red. I had, you know, the ones that kind of look like Timberlands.
Okay, yeah.
The brown and the kind of the
mountain. I mean, those
boot.
Were in.
Yeah.
It was crazy. The more color, the better, I guess.
So are you saying history is repeating itself?
Yeah, absolutely. In every other sense, so why can't music? You know, like, I'm down with, like, having a bit of the nostalgic paired with the future. Why can't we have both?
Right. I like that certain kids are like buying cassette tapes.
Yeah, exactly. Cassettes and vinyl sold more than any other medium.
Really?
Yeah. For the past couple of years.
What about how are we going to fix this streaming problem?
And, I don't know. And give more, it is a problem.
And give more money to the artists themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah,
Spotify and stuff like how do we fix that?
I don't understand how Spotify continues to fight to pay even less than what they're paying. It's like a fraction of a cent. I don't know. It's something ridiculous.
0.00000.
Yeah, it's insane. I just don't understand. I don't get it.
It just, that's why I think it's like that model's kind of like backward. It's like,
yeah,
you would think that, okay, the person who created the art should at least get half.
Yeah, no, that is not how it works. I wish.
And they're not gonna give you even a quarter or even 10% or 5% or even 2%.
No.
They're gonna give you fractions of a penny.
Yeah.
How is that right in any situation?
It's not right at all. And that's why you have to support the artists by going to their shows, by buying their vinyl, by buying their MP3s on Bandcamp, because that does go directly to the artist. So if you like an artist, support.
I support Bandcamp up the kazoo.
They're awesome.
All my stuff's on Bandcamp. I'm exclusively Bandcamp. Because at least I know it's exclusive, but every time I put my other projects on iTunes, I'll get a check like 10 years later for $32 or something.
Yeah, totally.
But at least with Bandcamp, it goes directly to the artist.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love them.
So, yeah, I like that. How are we going to... I don't know if we could fix Spotify. I mean, they're basically the rulers of the whole streaming business. You know what it reminds me of? Like, let's say you go to like an art gallery, right? And it's like, I understand that the gallery itself, they need to make money because it's their space.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, okay, you could have all of your art in this gallery, but you're not going to get half. You're not going to get 20%. You're going to get fractions of a penny.
Yeah.
And we keep everything.
Yeah.
But who did the art? This is the thing, but why did people come in the first place? Because of the art.
Yeah.
If it was empty, no one would go there,
right?
I know. It's the same thing with Spotify. If Spotify, no art was on there, then no one would go there.
It's crazy.
It's just crazy.
There's so many issues with Spotify. Like, I just read an article saying something like Spotify has created fake artists. You should look it up. I have no idea. But it's
an algorithm somehow.
Exactly. Like these fake artists are garnering billions of streams. And I'm just like, oh my God, those streams could be going to actual artists and real artists.
So wait, I'm confused. So they're creating fake artists where it's fake, like, it's like fake mute.
I have no idea. I should have paid more attention to the article. I'm trying to wrap my head around it.
So they're creating like a fictional artist or singer songwriter, but so who's doing the music?
I don't know. AI. I have no idea.
Oh, you just scared me.
That's real. It's real.
Could be studio musicians.
Totally.
They get the daily rate. So they go, hey, we need you to come in here. You got to sound like so and so. This is what's hot.
Yeah.
And then here's your check for today. You don't get, you know, any of the revenue after this, but we'll pay you for the day.
we'll pay you for the day fee. Yeah, totally. And then it has billions of streams.
What scares me? Because I don't know if it's AI, but what if the future's like, because you know there's like certain programs, they can mimic certain singers or voices.
Totally.
What if they just do that?
I mean, they already are. They're looking into it. Like AI is making music.
That takes the soul away from
them. I know.
So what if we're headed towards
just robots
a society
everywhere?
Where it's not only physical robots, but robots creating the art and singing and doing everything.
It's insane. Like, what is happening? I have no idea. Every day I ask myself that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But hey, let's stay positive.
Yeah, we're still positive.
You're still doing your thing.
Still doing my thing. Yeah. There's still great things. Every day I'm inspired. So. Yeah.
So what's your creative process like as far as before you write a song, how you create? Like, how do you get into the zone?
Yeah, so I have a studio at my house. Mm-hmm. It's like a detached thing, and I just go and I show up every single day. And some days I'm able to create, some days I'm not. But mm-hmm. I feel like as long as you have a routine, which I used to be so afraid of the word routine. I used to think it was death. Now yeah. I know that it's so vital for creativity. Yeah. It's how you're able to craft creativity.
Yeah,
you know, because it comes and it goes. And so... I just show up every single day, and some days it works.
Well, you know what analogy I just thought of you just saying that is like, you know how like a surfer will go out and put on the wetsuit and just go out looking for a wave?
Yeah, to totally.
You can't catch the wave if you're not out there.
It's true.
So you just have to kind of wait it out, and then maybe it'll come when yeah. you least expect it. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe mm-hmm. in preparation. Mm-hmm. I definitely think you have to be prepared for whatever. And as long as you put in the work, it'll show up.
As far as the songwriting itself, do you do that firstly, or do you wait till the music's done, then you go back and put pen to paper?
Sometimes it happens, you know, it kind of happens both ways. Sometimes I'll just write, and I'll have lyrics or poems or whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. and then my producer will send over a beat or some music, and I'll pair that. Or other times we start like super fresh with just like we build the music and then I write to that specifically.
Oh, right.
So it kind of just depends. It varies. Yeah.
Now, does your label have any say as far as creative wise, where do they have to green light certain songs or lyrics?
No, they're amazing, and they really trust in what we're doing, and it feels really great. I don't feel any pressure. They're super supportive. So we just send them the finished product. Mm-hmm. I love getting insight because I do trust them, and I think yeah. that they're you know, they're highly respected in the industry, so I do want to know their insight, you know, so I'll send them stuff like that. But for the most part,
as far as insight, as far as the songwriting itself or the song structure, what yeah. the song sounds like,
yeah, like I want to know, you know, like, hey, are you feeling this? What if you're not, like, what's up? Give me some notes.
Mm-hmm. And they've done that.
Yes, it's a very new relationship, but mm-hmm. We're working on the album, the second album, right now. So,
oh, can we talk like how yeah. how far into the album are you?
So we're almost done. We just released an EP on October 4th called Sleeper Hold, and that
how
was
how could people listen to it
on Spotify. But you can also
go to the Bandcamp.
Yeah, go to Bandcamp.
Yeah, go to Bandcamp. Can you shout out your Bandcamp real quick?
Yes,
please?
Bandcamp is Rituals of Mine. All the music that I've ever done is on there. So please support. We have videos up on YouTube. We're on any streaming site, but you can also get the vinyl, which is this beautiful purple marbled vinyl, super limited. It's only $10, so
really?
Yeah, and it's at Ameva too, so that was cool.
Okay, so that's on your Bandcamp as well, right?
Yes.
So go to her Bandcamp. Say it one more time.
Rituals of Mine Bandcamp.com. Yeah.
Yeah, spell out, yeah. Spell out the name.
RITUALSOFMINE.
Rituals
of Mine.
Of Mine. MINE.
Yeah.
Of Mine.
Mine, yeah.
Let's keep going. Let's talk about, when is your new album out?
Next year, for sure. We're in the finishing stages. We're kind of like finishing all of the songs and the mixing process, but already working on album artwork and all of that stuff.
Once you're completed with that, can they get it off your Bandcamp, or do they have to go to the record store, or do they have to go stream it?
All of it. It'll be
available. On both?
Yeah, everywhere. Any kind of medium.
So your label's cool with that being on your Bandcamp?
Yeah, the label's awesome. Yeah. They're amazing. Car Park Records. Just have to shout them out.
Shout them out. Let's show them some love.
Yeah, they're incredible.
That's very flexible.
They're a rarity in the industry, for sure.
Because you would think, I'm thinking that from a major label or even any kind of label's point of view, they would want like exclusive release of your material. But they're cool. They're like, oh, you can put it on your Bandcamp.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're amazing. Amazing people.
Yeah. Are you, how many songs do you think will be released on the new one?
Like 10 to 14, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about future, like, show dates or tour dates? Do you have any of those going? I mean, you just got back, but when's the next one?
Yeah, well, we're playing Freak Out Festival in Seattle November 14th, 15th. And then
really?
Probably, yeah.
That's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming
up. How do the kids get tickets?
Freak Out Festival, freakoutrecords.com. Go get tickets. It's going to be super dope. Mm-hmm. Seattle's always a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm taking the winter to just finish this album.
Good.
And then spring, we're going to be just on the road all the time.
That's good. Didn't you just buy a new house too as well?
No, I didn't. Everyone thinks I bought a house and I feel really bad.
No, I saw it on your Instagram.
Just renting.
Oh, it looked nice though.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's in LA somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. It's on the east side.
Okay.
And
I'm like, hey, congratulations.
I know. Everyone thought that. I should have just ran with it.
Yeah.
Not yet. Not yet. You will know when I buy a house. That's my number one goal.
Just around the corner.
My number one goal is to buy a house for my mom. That's my number one goal. That's
family,
like,
first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Family first. We have 10 more minutes. Let's talk more. I want to keep pushing. Like, so do you have a website? Do you have a certain website? Can we talk about your website?
Yeah.
What's on it? And what
Instagram too.
And yeah, let's talk about your website or Instagram. Anything else you wanted to share just to let viewers know?
Yeah, you listeners. Can go to ritualsofmind.com. On Instagram, we're Rituals of Mind. Twitter, Facebook. We're on everything. So just follow us everywhere. Why not?
And what if they wanted to buy like a t-shirt or a hat or a
Our store tab. Our merch is on point. I just have to say, our merch is so on point. I worked really hard with incredible artists.
Yes.
I'm so proud of what we have. I wear my own merch.
Yeah. Where could one of these kids buy a Ritual of Mind hoodie, t-shirt, hat, whatever you got? Where could they go?
Go to ritualsofmind.com. There is a store tab. Go to that tab because that's also how we make revenue. And that's how we keep going and make music. So buy all the things. We have tons of stuff. Tons of stuff.
Go on that website. Buy a lot of stuff on it.
Yeah.
Or everything. Buy it out. Go on their Bandcamp, buy it out, buy all that vinyl. Because $10 for vinyl?
It's insane.
Dude,
it's
buy
crazy.
That today once this is out.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to plug this when it drops.
Thank you.
So you'll know, I'll tag you in it.
Thank you.
But yeah, please support this artist. She's doing a good thing. Her band's doing a good thing, making honest music.
Thank you.
Michael Stipe from REM looked at her in the front row. Bjork waved at her. This is a special person. I can't overemphasize that enough.
Thank you.
What's your horoscope? I'm just curious. What's
I'm
your
Aries.
Aries.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to look that up.
I know. Like, I don't know anything other than
The stars are in alignment.
There's something. Anytime
you.
I the tell stars people, are, they're yeah. like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
I don't know nothing about it, but I will look it up.
Okay. Let me know.
What's the birth? What's the month in the
March 24th?
Okay, I gotta look that up.
Okay, yeah, let me know,
because there's the stars are in alignment with what's going on.
All right, cool.
I don't know much, but I will look it up. Yeah.
Okay.
So we have 5 more minutes, I think, right? Do we have We do have a little Ray's World too, I think. Yeah, we do. Yeah, at the end. That was awesome.
Thank you. I mean, we
could talk a lot. You got to come back.
I would love to.
Maybe come back with another bandmate.
All right.
Or something.
Yeah, let's do it.
How about you come back? Ooh, once your album drops.
I'm so down.
So once your album drops, then we could push it on here. And be like, hey, dude, get the album.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm so glad Mestizo. I could see now. I mean, throughout this whole us talking, I'm like, okay. Because I know JJ very well. I know JJ very well.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, it makes sense. Because it was easy. I'm like, oh, there's the homie right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so support Tara Lopez as well as Rituals of Mine. Okay. They're working on their second album.
Yeah.
When that drops next year, definitely cop that and go to the website as well as her Bandcamp. And buy stuff and support it. Download the music. Share it with a friend. Okay. We have shout out to Scentbird again, the sponsor for this episode. We have a website attached to the show called, it's at www.stevieweebyshow.com. So check that out. We also have a Patreon attached to the show. So if you want to keep the show rolling, come make your pledge. Become a patron. So our new Patreon or patron this week is Zach. Shout out to Zach. Go to patreon.com/stevieweeby. Those are all with double E's. The Instagram attached to this is Instagram/QUANGOU, Kwangu. That's my Korean name, by the way, Kwangu. But it's hard to pronounce it. That's why I changed it to Stevie Weeby. I'm sorry. Okay, and I also have a Bandcamp. Go to StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. I'm working on a little EP, too. I don't know how. I'm just working. I don't know when it's going to be out, but it's an EP revolved around my dad. Stevie on the Streety is a new series we're working on, hard, where we do street interviews. People tend to love it, and we're going to keep making them, okay? They're going to keep going and going and going. Yes, and Stevie Clips. So we're starting to do clips as well. And Stevie's P.O. Box, I need to go to the post office tomorrow, but I'm going to go tomorrow, is where people send in stuff to the P.O. box and I unbox it in front of the camera in my bathroom. So check out, you know, the address is if you want to send stuff, send your stuff to your packages and boxes to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. Support Riffin' with Griffin. Support Necro Electric, support Losco Projects with a Z, and WFE. And now it's time for Little Ray's World. Welcome to Little Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. All the boys and girls. Welcome to Little Ray's World. Yeehaw! What the hell do we got here this week, Beep? Why'd you get me, Beep?
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, I know. It looks like a goddamn trash bag, man. Hey. Hello? I usually could tell what someone's saying to me because I could decipher alien language, but this type of language, I have no idea what this trash bag is saying. Why the hell am I having a goddamn conversation with the trash bag in the first place, man? Why can't the alien cosmic god send us some beautiful women or some steaks or some pepperoni pizza, man? I've had it up to here, Buster. I'll give you one last chance. What's your name and why the hell'd you come here, man? Beep, beep, beep. All right, all I got from that is your name was Kaz. And somehow, I don't even know why you ended up a goddamn trash bag, but me and Beep wrote a song about you anyways, and it goes like this, man. God darn it. This one's about Kaz the trash bag, boys and girls. Listen closely. There's no need for a hashtag for this trash bag. I'ma keep on getting mad if you keep on sending trash. Ask Beep if he's had confrontations with the bag. Why can't the god send a batch of women we could have? Or a piece of steak that I can eat instead of feeling sad? Oh man,
what a drag, what a sick and twisted gag. I'm throwing in the flag or a pile or a rag, man. Call it what you want, you worse just taking what I had back home. I had a pad and my wife that wore them flat underwear that made me glad. Now I'm stuck inside the zigzag planet, man. I'm in bed off just like Sinbad. I'm a skin tag in the constellations where you look up to just like Glad. There's nothing more to say about this trash bag, man. There's nothing more to say about this trash bag, man. Name cast, I'm throwing them in the dumpster.
Join us in about 2 weeks or so for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. And make sure you go to www.stevieweebyshow.com and check out all the merch and everything else. Let's get her done. Preview.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.